thank God nobody. Well, thank God nobody's listening. That's great. So you know, happy. You know, you're the only one that wished me a happy Valentine's Day. You understand that you're the only happy Valentine's Day message I got yesterday.
It was ironic.
Yeah, the irony was palpable.
I mean, you know, you get up past a certain age and Valentine's Day.
Also when you're alone past a certain age, you know what I mean? I don't, yeah, I mean, like, why the fuck, you know, I don't know. We should be able to adjust our social media filters better. You know what I mean? You should have a little more control over what you see, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't need to see, yeah. I didn't need to see 500 fiery hearts yesterday. You know, and then especially the biggest mistake I ever made was connecting with people I went to school with on Facebook. Oh. Yeah, that was the worst idea of all time, for sure. You know, because you see them all successful with their families.
Oh, right. Well.
Which is tough.
When you go comparing yourself to other people, then that's down the wrong road already.
Oh, I should stop doing that.
Yeah, right?
But, you know, it's a tough thing. Does the lone wolf fulfill a role? It must fulfill a role in society, right?
Well, in the upper primates, it certainly the silverback drives out all of the adolescent males, and they wander the forest until they can gather a harem of their own. You know.
Okay, I don't think that's exactly the same thing, but you know, I don't. Is there a silver? What about a silverback that just wanders? And is that a thing? Or?
I'm sure that happens. You know, poor guy.
Yeah, but you don't know the term for it. That's my point. It's not. It might happen, but we don't know. You know, there could be a rogue gorilla.
Bachelor silverback.
Bachelor silverback. Even the word bachelor makes my heart break. You know, because I'm definitely not a bachelor at this point. You know.
It's not a word you hear very much either.
It's a tough day. You know, it's a tough mental health day, I think.
Valentine's Day?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people do get upset.
I mean, starting like a week before, right?
Relationship that they don't have.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you feel like a, I don't know, what's the term? Pariah?
That seems extreme.
Like, you figure you get like four plus decades into the journey, you know?
Yeah.
You figure you will have accumulated at least one admirer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I think Valentine's Day is for 15-year-olds.
Right, sure. And you know, Hallmark does a pretty little bit of business on it.
Right. That's true. Hallmark.
Yeah, Hallmark. Hallmark used to have the grip on it. I mean, there used to be stores that were just Hallmark stores.
Yeah, right.
Can you imagine?
Right. And for a while they had really syrupy, gonky, you know, sentiments on their cards. But then they had the amusing section. Finally came in with that. That wasn't that amusing, but.
Well, yeah, but fun. I mean, there was also tons of trinkets. Let's not get into. I mean, there were tons of trinkets. There were gifts, handheld gifts. You know, gifts chocolate. You could get chocolates. You know, now Hallmark occupies a little 4x6 foot area in your grocery store.
I think the internet has had something to do with the decline of Hallmark.
I mean, we, you know, the internet ruined everything, you know.
Everything.
Well, I guess it's pretty good. But I mean, you know, there were some things, you know, we burned down what little edifices we had. We burnt them down. What little monuments we had to our culture, we burnt down as quick as we could. And, you know, we should have stuck with Woolworth.
Woolworth, yeah.
You know, or the original Sears. You know what I'm trying to say. Like the mom and pop purveyor.
J.C. Penney.
The good old Jonathan Charles Penney Company. I don't know. J.C. Penney.
Oh, well, here's a sad Valentine's Day note. This is the first time I've spoken in 2 days.
Like said a word?
Right. I stayed home in the last 2 days, and I was working on the radio shows with Burt Bacharach tribute. And so I was doing that. And I watched some movies. I just didn't talk to anybody.
But while you were working on the show, you were speaking, weren't you? And you're putting the Bacharach
actually,
show together.
No, because I already had it voiced. but I, well, okay. I had 7 Dionne Warwick songs in there, and I had to fix that.
There's too many Dionne Warwick songs?
Well, technically, you're not supposed to play any more than 4 songs within 3 hours on the radio by a particular artist.
I see.
So I fixed that. But see, I didn't say anything.
You know, it's funny, though. That's like a silent retreat.
Yeah, right? I was thinking the same thing.
Like, I mean, people pay really big money to do that.
Like the Passionate Fathers.
Well, there's different ones. You know, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, is about to do a 4-day darkness retreat.
Oh, gee.
You go into a room that's dark, and you stay there for 4 days.
Well, that approaches sensory deprivation.
It is sensory deprivation, and it's a slow burn, and it's, you know, it's ego death. I don't know when ego death happens, but at some point it does. You go totally insane. But then you find out it's okay to be totally insane.
Yeah, ego death is actually, I'd say in most cases, a good thing.
Sure. In most cases.
I think LSD probably was... Push me in that direction.
So how was that not speaking for 48 hours?
It was weird. And I didn't even notice it until like yesterday. Wait a minute. I will take that back. I did say, fuck you out loud to a guy who was on the news, and he was trying to make the case that landlords are not so bad in the current situation. And he was talking about corporate landlords too, that own lots of houses and are raising the rents. And he just didn't make any sense.
Well, not to mention that landlords treat security deposits like the one ring, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I should keep it.
Issues, but. So,
why don't I keep it? I could keep it.
Right. Yeah. But at any rate, yeah. So, but otherwise, I said nothing. So it was weird.
So, did you feel physically different at the end? Like, did you feel like your throat had regenerated somehow? Like your vocal cords had taken some time to heal themselves? Or
I didn't really notice anything different. I mostly thought it wasn't a good thing.
Hmm.
And I even wondered how I would begin talking today doing this. It doesn't feel different right now. So
You sound weird. I'm just kidding. I can't believe how strange you are. I was going to ask you, is there a helium leak there or something? You sound very odd.
Yeah, right. Maybe the vocal cords did do something. I don't know.
So there was some deprivation there, like a social deprivation that happened.
Yeah.
As well.
Right. And, you know, and then they talk about how solitary confinement is not a good thing.
Right.
And isn't a positive, you know, punishment, you know, ideal.
It's not rehabilitative. Rehabilitative. No, yeah. So I'm wondering about my own. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a little hermitish right now, to be honest.
But, well, we're shooting down UFOs.
Yeah, we're shooting down UFOs, and I don't think it's a good idea. I've said this before on many occasions. We shouldn't shoot down UFOs willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
Yeah, willy-nilly. Right? I mean, we don't... You have to understand.
Not knowing what they are.
Exactly. Aliens that come and visit us, they might be so advanced that when they present themselves to us, they come off as morons. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're so advanced that they can't accurately estimate how prehistoric we are. So they send these balloons. You know what I mean? You know, they don't know. They don't understand that we're very much past balloons.
That's an interesting theory.
Right. They want something. They want to send something they know we can understand. So balloons.
Balloons, right?
Balloons. And speaking Chinese as well, like a loudspeaker speaking. If an alien was going to send a message to Earth, they would in this time period, they would probably send that message in Chinese.
Just based on the numbers of people on Earth speaking that language.
Exactly. They would want to make sure the maximum amount of people can readily understand what's being said. So
that's an interesting theory. It's not a bad one.
It would be either that or, we're hoping it'll be math. Oh, no, math is the only universal language. So it would be they would send us a message in math.
There might be a million or more fewer Chinese than there was a few months ago, though.
Is that population decline from aging?
From COVID.
Wow.
When they opened the country up, a lot of people got COVID and died.
Wow. Kind of after the fact. There's no rhyme or reason to any of this, you know.
I know. And I wonder, did they restrict too much? Kind of like the opposite of what Sweden did with, what do they call that? Your herd immunity.
Right.
Kind of the opposite of that.
Right, right.
Like they tried to protect so between just letting it run willy-nilly, I love that word, to too much lockdown.
Right, so they avoided the first wave, but then they exposed themselves to variants.
Right, is that what happened?
I don't know. Looking backwards, it's so the easiest thing in the world is to assign blame when you're staring backwards. You know what I mean?
Oh, so true.
And then blind as a fucking bat looking into the future. No idea. Right?
Right.
2020 crystal clear looking backwards, zero depth perception looking forwards.
That's right.
Right. So is this, maybe that's why we, psychologically, we like to look backwards because it's a clear view.
Well, however, okay, they say hindsight's 2020. I think it's something less than 2020.
It's not exactly 2020, is it?
Right. I mean, the way people talk about history, it's quite a bit less than 2020.
Right.
So...
it's a mirror. History ends up being a mirror, not some fucking carved in a tablet record, of what happened. You end up looking back and you kind of, you're explaining yourself, right? Anytime you try to explain something that you don't understand, you're really, psychologically, you're explaining yourself. That's the theory.
That is so true. That was one of the first, when I started a real serious look at the 18th century, one of the first things I noticed was the different perceptions of Thomas Jefferson. People wanted Thomas Jefferson to be what they wanted him to be. And so they would look at history through those rose-colored glasses.
Right.
And whether you were conservative Republican or whether you were the most liberal atheist, that was Thomas Jefferson for you.
I mean, Bible's the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Kind of. You're not learning about it. You're learning about you.
So I don't know. I don't think the first one was Chinese. The rest of them, they don't know what they are. They might be space aliens.
Yeah, they sent us balloons, right? Because we like balloons, and we all know balloons,
right? And for a while now.
balloons are, have been common and well loved. they mean party. So
yeah, right. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, that seems a stretch that it is from outer space that these things are coming from.
Well, you're not going to send a fifth dimensional hologram message, right?
You'd think they could if they wanted to.
They probably can, and they wouldn't because none of us will be able to see it. So they got to go far enough back. I don't know. These ones are shooting down now are weird. These are unidentified.
Yeah, they don't know. They're coming from a country, a company, you know, some sort of Dr. No from an island in, you know, in the Pacific.
And, you know, there's some, did you hear about, like, these balloons as electromagnetic pulse weapons? Are you following that at all?
Well, no, not, I haven't seen that one, although it seems like that would not be the best way to impose that.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying this would be a way to kind of serendipitously get them in position is by, you know, floating them unseen into position kind of thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, I just suppose anything's possible at this point.
So now we're back to, instead of nuclear scourge, we got, I'm so tired of this. You know,
killer balloons.
I hope it is aliens. I'm telling you, we don't know what it is, we shouldn't shoot it down necessarily.
Well, except for one of the reasons is they're in commercial airline altitude.
Well, that's not good.
So that's one reason they're saying that they got to come down.
Well, I did not have alien balloons on my apocalypse bingo card.
Well, it's new. At least it's new.
That is totally new. I mean, you have to at least give credit for that. They're keeping it exciting.
Who would have thought?
So are no other countries experiencing the odd balloon flyovers that's just the United States that's getting them?
Canada.
Well, right.
So, yeah, North America.
So just North America only?
So far, apparently.
Hmm.
As far as we know.
Well, these aliens need to shit or get off the pot. That's what I'm saying. Right? Because we got enough issues and anxiety down here. We don't need... You either slaughter us and enslave us or move on. Let us, you know, we'll figure this out. Are we going to figure it out, well, or you think?
They're going to hear this podcast. They can hear all of our... So that's the other thing. You know, they know what kind of technology we have.
They should know, right?
They should know, yeah. They've been, you know, reading our radio signals for over 100 years now.
Yeah, the first one they heard was Hitler.
Well...
It's true. That the Olympic opening ceremony's broadcast was the first recording powerful enough to go into deep space.
Oh.
So it's being chased by all these new ones, but that's the first one they're going to get, the Olympic opening ceremony. The Berlin Games. It's pretty wild, right? So
no wonder they're worried.
Well, yeah, that story didn't turn out so good, huh? I mean, see, that's why we hooked them, though. What a twist right out the gate, you know?
Are you aware of a 1950 book called The Flying Saucers Have Landed?
No.
As a guy named George Adamski, lived in La Jolla, too, and he wrote two books. One was The Flying Saucers Have Landed, and he claims to have met a man from Venus named Orthon, which, you know, I thought that was pest control. But at any rate, and Orthon tells him that they've been, you know, reading our, you know, radio broadcasts and TV, and they are very, became very worried about Earth when we exploded an atomic bomb.
Oh, right. That was the moment. Like, hold on, they just split the atom way ahead of schedule.
Yeah, right. And which the book comes out in 1950, so the Russians have already exploded their bomb too. So now they're very worried. Well, the idea is that the Space Brothers have come down. They've got people in major corporations and the major governments of the world,
right,
to try to keep a handle on, you know,
the planet being destroyed.
Right. That, yeah.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like they'd be doing a better job than they've been doing.
So, like, they didn't even know we were here until the bomb blew up. I was like, oh boy. Or
no, it was the radio waves, but
okay, but they were listening. Oh, they were listening. They were watching the program up until that point. Like, yeah. Oh, look at this novelty.
Yeah, right. This is interesting. And then it was like, oops.
Right.
Look at what they got.
Like, how long till they develop a bomb to blow up a whole planet? So,
yeah.
Which is essentially what nuclear war is, right? It's a lot of little bombs that blow up a planet, that ruin a planet.
Right. Nuclear winter, all of that. Mutually assured destruction.
I mean, you have to admire the patience of the alien overlords to, you know, allow us to continue to work it out, right?
Right. Yeah, no kidding. So...
So is it AI? Is that what scares them? Is AI the next atomic bomb that scares them? Now we're about to have AI, so here comes the balloons.
Maybe the AI is them.
Hmm. I mean, the AI is probably it's probably the simulation. It's so weird to get a handle on this reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So.
Huh.
And AI is getting weirder every day.
Real, real weird. Yeah. Racist, as it turns out, as well.
Racist. So. People are writing their term papers with the chatbot.
Right. The chatbot is now, they say chatbot is going to switch out with white collar jobs, basically.
Right.
I've already read articles about that. Like they're saying in 10 years, the chat GPT is going to eliminate 30-40% of jobs.
Graphic artists.
Right. The AI right now can't do hands very well. It's strange.
That's so true. I used one of those bots for the illustration. I know we were talking about feet in yogurt or something like that. And if you look at the toes on that thing.
It can't do it. It has a problem with digits. Yeah, it's strange. Yeah. It's real strange. The edges are, well, like the simulation, the edges are fuzzy. You know, your peripheral is fuzzy.
So it looks like there's going to be some little ways that we can tell it's the AI.
But, you know, we're just one step from us all making fun of the hands and fingers to us knowing it's a robot and not caring. I mean, we're super close to that.
Seems like it.
I mean, you can already, they're already replacing what fast food, the people who order food through at fast food. You know what I mean? All the, they're attacking the ancillary, you know, clerks at stores. You know, they're getting rid of those are being replaced by machines.
Okay.
And we're happy with it. Sure. I mean, we're not happy with it. Nobody likes the self-checkout things, but we use them and they're there and it's common now.
You know, I'm not as against that as a lot of people, I think. You know, the problem I have with robotics and machines taking people's jobs, I think it's fine. But what has to happen is those companies using those machines have to share the money that they're saving with the populace.
So now you want to say universal basic income, but you want to, that's the term for what you're talking about.
Pretty much. I mean, I don't think that's the only method, but probably the best method. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it used to be 500 people in a field. Now it's a giant octopus machine doing it.
Exactly. So exactly. The, and we should all share in the leisure created by these, you know, labor-saving devices.
Right.
And that would be good for the rich people, too.
The idea with robots is they were going to do the jobs, right?
Yes.
Right. I mean, that was the idea, right?
To work. Yeah.
The dream future was the robot. But if you
sure. If you go back to, you know, 20s science fiction, 30s science fiction, and those clunky robots, but that was the idea, yeah.
But then you look at the Jetsons, right?
Sure.
Set in the future.
Sure.
Robot made.
Right.
Right. Still, the guy still has a job. You know what I mean? It's like, he still goes.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's still going to work with George, a suit and tie.
George, still got to go to work.
With a suit and tie. Still. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Floating in fucking orbit. And. Right.
So you got to wonder. It doesn't seem like it was that accurate.
Well, what's the. Some religious thing, work through, how does it go? Like we're some religious tenet, like you got to work to, who was it? Come on.
Religious.
Which one of the, was it St. Peter?
Religious robots?
No. Didn't St. Peter say you got to work as you're, you know, like you got to, man, what's the fucking phrase? You know, the work, you got to work. Oh. It's not, you don't just pray, you have to work, too. I'm not saying it right.
Well, remember the Mormons had one where it was, pray as if all depended on God, work as if all depended on you.
Hmm. Sounds like a party.
Right. I'd say the second part of that one is probably the best advice.
It's real hard to have robots doing everything, and then we're still using money to buy things from each other. That seems weird. Like, I don't see how those two things, how does that work?
Well, in Fritz Lang's movie Metropolis, there still was an upper class who was very much concerned with money. And that robot was, well, hot. She could dance.
Okay, well, you know, that's good. I mean, I think you want the dancing robot, for sure. It just doesn't seem like I can't, in my mind, I'm trying to work it out like, okay, so all the jobs are done by robots, right? So then what are we doing? And like, how are we buying eggs? Are our eggs still available and do you have to pay money for them?
Hopefully there will be things that uniquely people only can do, robots cannot do. Will we find that place?
Drawing hands, for example. Well, I agree with you. Are there some human to human consultative jobs that will always be spared because you know, but eventually even that meeting is happening in a virtual environment, right? You know, because the meta is replacing the mall and the internet that we use for buying things. That's the goal with that, is eventually you'll log on, you'll put your headset on, you'll log in, and you'll be at a mall.
Sure.
To go to the Amazon store, to go to look at whatever.
Will the AI do better at inflation? Housing?
I just feel like there's a lot of people, you know, somebody that's maybe 15 years old right now, let's say, 15 and below and younger, are going to have no issue with any of this.
Right.
You know, they'll know the meta as a game first, and then they'll, you know, see that thing. You know, people older than that, you know, are going to have an issue with this. Our minds are not set up for virtual reality.
Are you playing video games?
I play some video games, sure. Yeah. I'm familiar with them.
I haven't in quite some time.
It hurts my eyes. So,
yeah,
you know, I get like, not seizures, but I start to get where my head hurts a little bit. And this isn't even virtual reality. It's just regular reality. Well, like the TVs and the graphics are getting too advanced for my eyes. Like it's.
Oh, they certainly are doing that.
Well, it starts to, now I'm seeing seizure warnings on a lot of shows, a lot more seizure warnings, because I guess it is throwing some people into seizure. I guess if you've had a lot of training looking at screens, I mean, I've been looking at screens for many years, so maybe, you know, that's giving me some protection, but I definitely feel like with some of it, I have to look away sometimes.
All right.
Right. Of course, I am dying.
Well, the problem I have is I get nauseous, motion sickness, which is weird, but that's what happens. I was playing Duke Nukem. I was playing Quake, and I went all the way through them, but I was getting really ill.
Yeah, you would not be able to handle the new versions of the new games.
Actually, that's not true. Cosmo, my son, plays some Cyberpunk 77.
Oh, okay. So,
and the graphics are so good that somehow the nausea is less.
Okay, but that's a very dark game, though.
Well, there it is, a dark game.
It's a very dark game. You know, have you played games where it's more sunshine, daylight, flashy, brighty?
There must be some. I'm not thinking of them right now, but
I mean, I haven't. I know the Oculus headset's available. It's not super expensive. It's, you know what I mean. I have not bought it, and I'm not sure I'm going to. I think I'm going to, as a dealer in Vegas would do, clap his hands and say good luck, everybody, as he gets up. I think I've reached my level. I don't think I'm going to go to the virtual thing, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it, like not loading in on that.
Yeah. I'm not going to go there, of course, but I mean, I haven't played games in a long time. So the AI is involved in the games too, but it's the graphics that really blow my mind. It's sometimes really difficult to tell, ooh, is that real?
Well, now we're back to simulation theory, right? Every single video game that has ever existed, that we've ever played, that we will ever play, the ones coming out are all leading up. They're a long chain that leads up to a full-scale universe-sized simulation of the universe.
Oh, right.
It's only for lack of computing power that we do not have that now. So as time moves on, we move closer and closer to a more seamless video game that looks more realistic, eventually a virtual environment that looks super realistic, eventually to the point where you cannot tell.
So the Matrix.
A simulation. And one of the strongest arguments for simulation theory that we have is the fact that, have you ever seen your neighbors bringing groceries into their house?
Explain that.
I have never in my life seen my neighbors anywhere I've lived ever bringing groceries into their house, ever.
I can't really recall that.
Okay, we all buy groceries all the time. We go through a shit ton of groceries. You should see that. You should
see. It's happening two or three times a week.
Every door in your neighborhood has people behind it that have a refrigerator full of groceries, and they're moving groceries in and out and blah. I've never seen it in my life. See, the simulation is going to cut out some stuff. Just for the sake of computing power and to keep it running smoothly, there's some things. This is the argument of why our peripheral vision is not good. Much like a sandbox simulation video game, when you look forward at stuff, it's very defined, and the stuff on the edges is a little bit blurry, and it comes into focus as you shift your focus, your frame of reference.
Well, okay, so think of the brain as a filter, and what it's filtering out is stuff that it doesn't need to worry about.
It's not rendering it.
You don't need to worry about your neighbor bringing groceries into his house.
Now we're back to video game display. A video game that's an immersive world game does the same thing. It renders what you're interacting with very succinctly, and the stuff to the edges that you're not using, it doesn't render it at all. And now we're back to, does the tree in the forest make a sound if no one's there to hear it? I mean, it's weird, right? But the physical reality seems to be... Have you ever seen anybody carrying fucking groceries into their house, James? I mean, Jesus, you've been around the block a couple times, right?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you that.
I'm telling you, I don't have any memory.
But the reason is, it's not something you would notice very much.
Yes, the simulation is based off point of view observation. You're not noticing it, you're not looking at it, and it doesn't need to be there because you're not looking.
Right.
It's very odd.
And it's not entirely accurate, too. Like a deer hears a rustle in the bushes. That might be a tiger. It's probably not,
right.
But it's going to react as if it is a tiger.
I mean, the thing is, the video games get better and better. And like you said, you're looking at some shots in Cyberpunk, and it looks like you're looking at a real video court, kind of. Like it's a, you know what I mean? It's not a video game. It's just some recording of something.
Right.
Eventually, we reach a point where we can easily now run a full-scale, full-size simulation of the universe, right? And once we're able to do that, we're likely to do a lot of them. We're likely to do that like a video game.
You mean like with the stars and...
Full-scale, the whole physical construct of the physical universe expressed in a simulation. It's only a matter of computing power. So here's the thing. In that type of simulation, it's so advanced, it has so much computing power, that the entities within it do not understand that they're in a simulation. They believe themselves to be real. It's in the programming. Even the NPCs, they say it in a video game, there's you, the player you're controlling, and then there's NPCs, which are all the people and everything that are not player controlled, right?
That has been the subject matter of some science fiction movies, robot consciousness.
If we're a simulation, in all likelihood, we would not have the capacity to understand that we are.
Matrix.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, Elon Musk put it better. If in the future we're going to run millions of these simulations, right, of the universe,
sure,
and the NPCs inside them don't know that they're not real, then if that's going to happen, which appears that it will move towards that, what are the odds that we're in a simulation now? What are the odds that this is base reality? If in the future there's going to be millions and you wouldn't know.
See, here we have to define the word real.
Well, let's say base reality. Base reality. Like the reality from which all the simulation will be constructed and put into operation.
Sure.
Does that exist?
My brain is already starting to hurt.
It really is weird because these balloons make no sense. These balloons make about as much sense as not seeing your neighbors with their groceries. It's weird. Like, what is that?
It's kind of what I love about it.
About reality? Right? I can't say base reality. I don't know if I'm in base reality. That's what I'm saying. Let's just say reality.
Well, I mean, the thing that I really love about them is balloons?
Balloons. Well, you know, when I found out there were two more and they'd shot one down, I think I've moved my fear meter up 20%, let's say. I moved it from 0 to 20.
Aren't we up to like three more, like four or five of them now?
Like all that, and now the alien armada shows up and it's balloons.
And it's balloons. See, I kind of love that.
It is. There is something to it, huh? It does have a little... It's very Roger Corman. I don't know. There's something to it. There's something to it. It's funny.
Something to it. A weird thing. Well, in other news, the 2024 election cycle has already started. 2 years out, almost, and it's already started.
The front runners on the right side are still Trump and Meatball Ron.
Yeah, although Nikki Haley came in, and that's an interesting interjection.
Hmm.
She probably did it too soon, though.
And then on the left, we have what?
Hey, we got Biden, and I think he's going to do it, and I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be fine.
What's he going to be? He'll be 90 years old when he finishes that term.
Well, Dianne Feinstein is 90 now.
She's still real spry, though. She's in better shape now than I am at 48. You know what I mean?
Okay. There's that. She's been all right. But I think it's definitely time for her to retire. Just based on my father, who is 99 now.
Right.
At 90, he was still pretty spry.
Wow, your dad's 99 years old.
Right.
Jesus. We got to do a special show for him.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
God damn, that's impressive, though.
It is. He's outlasted all of his brothers and sisters. He had six of them.
What was the secret, you think?
He wasn't a vegetarian.
So he ate a little bit of meat?
He eats what I think of as not the greatest diet. However, it's certainly, mostly food that he cooks himself or his my mother. But
so he's buying components at a store than making a meal with the components?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So it's more or less.
He's controlling his salt intake.
Not so processed as a lot of food is now.
Well, they put a lot of salt in restaurant food, too.
Yeah. So it was a lot of macaroni.
Was he a big guy? Was he a big fat guy?
No.
You don't see a lot of 90-year-old fat people, do you?
Sure. Yeah.
But no, he was stocky though.
He's thinner now. He's smaller now.
Physical labor? Was he, put in a physical effort? I mean, what?
Oh, sure. He has been chopping woods to recently.
So wood chopping. Yeah, you want to talk about wood chopping.
Yeah, he chops it for his fireplace.
So, yeah.
Huh. He works on his car. He still does that. Probably not so much as he once did, but.
I mean, it seems like he, use it or lose it. It seems like he's doing, heavy calisthenics. He's focusing with that axe. He's doing, digital manipulations with the car repairs and, fine, precise movements. It seems like you just keep working, keep it going.
And I think that somewhat applies to Dianne Feinstein. She's, and she's in office. She's doing the stuff. She's talking to people. She's doing politics. She's keeping active.
Should do that.
However, so I'm not worried about Joe Biden at 80. I remember my father at 80. He was fine. He was very active. That was 19 years ago.
Okay, well, counterpoint, he's already showing dementia. So Biden, I'm saying.
Because of his speech?
Not because of his stuttering, because of his going off the reservation at times. Also, I've seen some clips of just word salad that isn't anything. He stutters, his mind stutters as well. Let's say that. It's not just a speech impediment.
So when he did an end run around Republicans at the State of the Union speech over Medicaid and Social Security, he got Republicans to back off from a long time Republican agenda, and now that it's going to be really impossible for them to do much with that.
So he's still got some shrewdness in him.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, he's got a good team behind him. And I really trust that more than worry about his, you know, mental acuity.
The economy is good or bad, depending on who you're listening to.
Right. Except if you compare it with the rest of the world, the dollar is the strongest currency in the world, stronger than it was, you know, just a few years ago. Of course, the pandemic had something to do with that. But inflation here was generally less than it was in Europe and Asia.
The unemployment rate is the lowest since the 1960s.
Exactly. So as if you look at those, if you really look at the economic indicators, that's a plus. That's on the plus side.
They've been telling us for 2 months that, or 3 months, that the housing market was collapsing. It hasn't.
It hasn't.
Prices stabilized and are starting to go back up again. Interest rates will probably come down soon.
Well, right. There's that. And so they're trying to, yeah, cool off the economy. That's, yeah, as opposed to it, you know, it going south. They're trying to cool it off.
I mean, the eggs are 70% more expensive, so that's where we're at nationally on that. 70% more from a year ago.
The inflation, of course, is troubling. But once again, if you compare it with, it was worldwide inflation, and you look at America's place in that, which you have to guess policy had something to do with us having a better relationship with inflation than most of the rest of the world. That's a plus.
We had two quarters in a row of negative GDP, or of GDP reduction, right? Which of course is the historic indicator for a depression, not a recession. But it seems like this is a new world, is what I'm seeing. This is my question. When November rolls around, when it's time to make a decision in a general election next November,
is
this inflation and the turmoil that happened in this period, is it going to be enough to float the Republican boats? Or is it not going to matter because the economy is so strong and it's fully rebounded?
Right, I know. Well, that's my hope.
You got to vote with your dollars, right?
I think actually the State of the Union address, where he wants to go after, you know, corporate pigs, the people sucking up all the money and paying no taxes, I think that resonated well with even some Republicans, at least certainly independents and the swing voters. That plays well.
I mean, yeah, it's the Bernie Sanders. It's from the Bernie Sanders playbook. Yeah. You know.
And it's really from the drain the swamp playbook on the right as well. Why they thought a billionaire was going to drain the swamp, I have no idea.
A scumbag. A scumbag billionaire. Not just a billionaire.
Right. Absolutely. So I don't know. I like a Joe Biden presidency. I think
I got to be honest, I feel kind of hopeful. Unless some firebrand shows up on the right, I mean, I don't see who would show up in the next. We're out of time. I think who they've put forward, it's going to be one of them at this point. It's too late, right, for another person to show up? Like a Barack Obama, but Republican? I mean.
Well, right. It's Trump, DeSantis, but Nikki Haley is. Don't count her out. She seems rational. She seems not so Trumpy. She's never lost an election. She's been ambassador. She's got international, you know, experience. Governor of South Carolina. And you listen to her talk, she doesn't sound crazy.
South Carolina, though.
There's that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So those six electoral votes, or however many, you know.
Right. So I really don't think she's got much chance. But 2 years out, who could say? I mean, that's, you know, that's a lifetime away.
I don't think Trump or DeSantis can get elected, right?
I don't think so either. That's why I would like Trump to be the one that's running. Because he's got the least chance.
It would be nice to go through it one more time, have it get shot down, have him challenge the election, have him storm the Capitol, have him just do it all one more time, and then, you know, this time really punish people for it. And, you know, sometimes we got to run it past a couple times before it clicks, you know?
Well, so New York prosecutors getting real close. Indications are from the indictments, I mean, the subpoenas that they're issuing, they wouldn't be doing that unless they were ready to drop the hammer on Trump. So, I mean, that could take him out of the running. He's in jail.
Does that benefit the Republican Party more than putting him up? You know, if you think about it, wouldn't that mean?
I think it does. Yeah. I think it does. I don't think Ron DeSantis has a chance either.
But I mean, if all the MAGAs were like, okay, we can't vote for Trump because he's not eligible, so might as well vote for
DeSantis.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't think that'll help.
Because DeSantis think could make him Speaker of the House, right? Trump. Like he can assign him, or he can put him on the Supreme Court. Even
that's absolutely true.
Yeah, maybe they'll cut some. If Trump gets indicted and can't, or convicted rather, and can't run, then maybe they'll cut some backroom deal. Everyone together, then it's still not enough, though, right?
I don't think so. I think the MAGA pool is evaporating.
Right.
At least it's becoming less.
I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene is so disagreeable, you know?
Oh, I know.
My goodness.
Liar!
My goodness. You know, there's a time in our country when even leaving, not saying anything for her and leaving the meeting and on the steps of the building saying that would have been disgraceful.
Yes. There, not that long ago.
Not that long ago. Not even saying it during the meeting, but... getting in front of a gaggle of reporters outside the meeting and saying it afterwards.
Remember that that one Republican congressman who shouted out liar to Obama at a State of the Union?
He's working at a Wendy's right now.
Right? Yeah, he apologized. He apologized.
Oh, my gosh. She makes my skin crawl, you know?
Marjorie?
Oh, yeah.
What makes your skin crawl?
Marjorie makes my you know, I don't even, I have so much vitriol for her now that I can't even think about Boebert or Gates or any of them. I don't have anything left for any of them. It's
she's so gleefully disgusting.
What if she runs for president?
Not a chance.
Not a chance, right?
Yeah. She might. Unless she starts some MAGA party. MAGA party, geez.
Yeah, MAGA party.
Possibly?
Maybe. I don't know.
No.
I don't think there's enough of them left. I think you're right.
No, I don't either. I think some of them are waking up to, how did I fall down that rabbit hole?
I think some of them were wearing the hat because it's fun, and then once they realized it's not fun anymore, then they took the hat off, and now they want to be more moderate Republicans. So,
I actually know a person in that category. The reason they voted for Trump in 2016 was they thought he was funny,
right?
And you know, then a couple of years in was all it took for them. This isn't so funny now.
He is funny, but you're laughing at him, but you don't realize it. So it's it's P.T. Barnum. I mean,
no, these indictments look kind of close. Both Georgia, the Georgia thing,
right?
Interfering with the election, and
well, he tried to interfere. I mean,
right? Yeah, well, that's good enough. You don't have to succeed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then the Stormy Daniels thing.
Oh, right, because it was campaign money?
Yeah.
Right. Can't take campaign money for abortion payoff?
Sure. And then the 2016, I mean, the insurrection.
Right.
Still in play.
I remember, I'm in northern Arizona, so it's MAGA country.
Yes, sure.
I remember, like, even a few days before the January 6th, flags in the yards, on cars, everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you sick seeing all of it. And then within a few days after January 6th, most of them were gone.
So I hope that's an indication. Of course, you know, the election was being contested right up to that point, and then not so much after that.
I think the Kerry Lake thing's finally over with, right? Arizona?
Yeah. Yeah, Kerry Lake, sure. She's still singing the same tune, but it's doing her less good. I mean, there's been some court challenges that have shot her down at every point. There's all of that. So it seems like she's done now.
And, of course, you're listening to all you fascists. Look, the music you hear at the beginning of the show, that's the intro, so.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't think we got deep enough into Valentine's Day, okay? I got a lot more pain, you know, with that. So, but I guess we'll have to save it for next year.
A reason that we're both avoiding that.
So we'll just save it for next year, I guess.
Save it for next year.
I mean, love yourselves. I would say love each other, but now I'm thinking about me. It's like, love yourself, you know? I don't know.
Well, hey, to love each other, you kind of got to love yourself.
You got to love yourself. ladies and gentlemen, you know, the U.S. is either under attack by some rogue, early 1900s technology terrorist group. Or
Dr. No,
with a weapon that we can't even conceive, which is with balloons, or we've got some aliens in the house and, we're shooting down there. It could be drones. It could be envoy. You know what I mean? It could be messages inside those balloons.
Have we found any of them yet after we shot them down?
I mean, if we found them and it was an alien balloon, you think they would tell us?
Maybe that's why they're not telling us that they...
No, why wouldn't they tell
us? You know?
I mean, Jesus, is there anybody that doesn't think aliens exist a lot still? I mean, come on.
I think it's highly unlikely.
What's highly unlikely? That aliens exist?
I mean, it seems incredible that in the vastness of space that life didn't happen elsewhere, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
But you know how long it would take us to get to, four light years away with the fastest rocket ship that we have?
Yeah, absolutely. The distances are incredible, and it's likely that any society that could develop the rocket ship to do it quickly would blow themselves up long before they got to the rocket ship. Also possible.
See? So, could they ever get here?
Exactly. So, okay. So, but it's two separate things, So, yeah. It seems like there must be some explanation for these balloons other than alien society, because, it would take them forever to get here, and why would you send balloons anyway? So,
sure.
So we're left with, what are these balloons? Folks, if you're out there making little balloons and setting them up enough, it's getting into the... Yeah.
Let us know.
Just, it's getting into the flight paths of air. Don't fucking put shit in the flight paths of commercial airliners. Let's just start with that, okay? Don't stop with that.
Right at the top. Right at the top of the list.
You want to build something that stays on the ground in your yard, go for it. But leave the airspace to the FAA. That's it, James. Thank you so much. Thank you to the listeners.
Thank you, Dave.
Everyone love each other, and we'll be back soon. Unless the world ends. Ciao.